If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We're back in Gauteng, and maybe not just Gauteng this time, but really predominantly in Gauteng. Trade unions, medical associations and universities are raising alarms that Gauteng budget cuts at the cost of doctors' take-home pay will have dire consequences for public sector health. And what we're hearing is that in this particular month, doctors in Gauteng, not just in Gauteng, but mostly in Gauteng, were not able to get home or take home their overtime paychecks. On the line with us is South African Medical Association CEO, Dr. Mzulungile Notikida. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Dr. Notikida, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you very much, Pamela. We really appreciate the time.
What seems to have been the problem?
Look, I think we have a very almost like a unique problem that we're facing with this year. Departments of health across the country have been trying to manage committed overtime of doctors and trying to be creative to implement a national policy. And we've then engaged with National Department of Health, and we've engaged with the departments themselves to say, look, this is something that you can't just wake up and wish away, because it almost is the foundation of training in South Africa, both under and postgraduate training. You need overtime because you've got fewer doctors. South Africa is sitting at 0.31 per thousand. And that just tells you, Pamela, that you have one doctor for every 3,100 South Africans. I mean, so you still need doctors to work over and above what they are supposed to be working. Now, this was agreed upon a long time ago that it will be a committed overtime, which will allow them to work 16 to 20 hours over and above what they are supposed to do. So this has been working very well. And in fact, one of the things that I think our public health system has been struggling with a lot of problems, but this is one area where specialists in the public sector were actually doing what they're supposed to be doing in terms of monitoring and even training the younger doctors. So this is one of the pillars within our public health system that works. Now, fast forward. Yeah.
My understanding is that before this actually happened, you did raise alarm bells and said,
yes,
you know, whatever you're planning to do, please let's halt it and let's reassess it.
We did. We met with Gauteng specifically on the 7th of April. We met with the HOD. We agreed with the HOD. I mean, the HOD was very almost supportive, almost working with us, very, very, yes, very professional around this thing. So we were surprised when our members started reporting at the end of April that they didn't receive their payment. We immediately reached out to the HOD to say, HOD, look, we have a problem here. This needs to be sorted out. And he responded by saying, yes, I will sort it out. I have a management meeting with my team now. It does look like there are certain hospitals that would have failed to do what they are supposed to do from a managerial point of view. And when we did our survey, Pamela, I can share with you that we discovered that about 628 of them responded to our survey, and 536 are in Gauteng, spread across Chrisani Baragwanath, Dr. George Mukari, and the Far East Rand Hospital. Because we did get some responses from both from the Eastern Cape, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, and parts of the Northwest. But we then met with the clinical heads of all of these central hospitals in Gauteng, almost the heads of universities and the clinical department. And we agreed that we then need an urgent session with the HOD, because we just need to know, firstly, when are the doctors going to be paid? Because now we were told they were going to be paid on the 12th, and some were paid and some were not. We got reports that are not confirmed that some were paid today. We met last week on Thursday. We communicated with the HOD on Friday that we actually want an urgent meeting because in Steveco, where doctors have been paid, they are starting to receive a lot of patients from the different hospitals where services are actually not being rendered. For example, you know that Chambisa was closed because of the fire.
Yes.
So if George Mukari is suffering because of the anesthetic team that is not there fully equipped, then the patient who needs surgery would then be referred to the next available hospital. In this case, it's Steveco. I must say that I was a little bit disappointed with the HOD. I must say this. We just received an acknowledgement of our email from him today.
Mm-hmm.
He did say he was prioritizing our meeting. We still don't have a date. We don't know when we can meet with him because for us, this is critical. This is something that you stop everything for. You immediately go to your people that you employ and you reassure them.
Let me ask you this. What initially were your concerns upon hearing that they had plans to, you know, rejig whatever it is that they were rejigging? I think it was a technical system or updating it or verifying staff members. What were your concerns?
So our concerns were the same. We knew that if you were to, for example, change the way doctors were getting paid, because committed overtime comes in as part of the salary of the doctor.
Mm,
it
mm.
almost forms 30%
yes.
of it.
Yes.
So once you start saying they must start claiming for the work and it separate, we knew that capacity doesn't exist, for example. That we knew.
Mm.
Okay. So
administratively, it's going to be difficult to actually assess line by line item and saying, oh, this was overtime, this is actually your salary. I get you.
Exactly. And besides, how do they come with... let me just give you an example. So an example of an operation, a cesarean section that is being done, and for some reason there's a bladder injury.
Mm-hmm.
In that same operation, there will be a urologist that will be called in to come and intervene. Yeah. But the system, whatever system you have, will not pick that up. But you need a urologist on call.
Mm-hmm.
So we just got a complaint now from our colleagues in PE. The general surgeons are saying, but we are now being asked to see every surgical case that comes in. Cardiothoracic cases, we are supposed to see them. We are general surgeons.
Jeez.
So the way people are just changing things that work instead of building in internal controls that you can use to actually monitor if work is actually done. So the other thing is that the minister has given a clear direction here. I mean, we actually very glad that they came through as national to provide leadership in this.
Yes.
They said to the department, please, we're appointing a ministerial advisory team. Please stay away. Use the policy that exists. Mm. Stay away from this. And we thought that the provinces would do that. You know, as a result, we're starting to write to them to say, guys, but the minister has provided direction here. Can we all sit down somewhere? Let's wait for the ministerial advisory team to do their work. We do our own research. We make submissions.
So let me maybe understand from their point of view, was this exercise in aid of cutting costs?
Well, we don't really. This is one of the reasons why we need to sit down again with the HOD just to understand which one of their interventions actually affected doctors, because we don't know what actually happened. Because simply because doctors were paid, so I heard their spokesperson speaking earlier talking about them verifying whether people are ghosts or they are available, this they have processed. That one is fine. I mean, that's something that they should respond as a responsible government do. But there are critical areas that you don't want to be touching on and be messing around. I mean, first of all, doctors, and you don't have a lot of them in the country.
Of course.
It's even worse if the doctors are specialists. Even the ones who just joined the interns, you literally know now how many are going to come into the system. you are given the list, especially at the provincial level, you know that these people are actually qualified and they are appointed. So I'm just not sure. That's why it's critical to have a session with the HOD, just to understand which one of their multiple processes they were trying to implement had this impact, and what can be done to make sure it doesn't happen, and when can doctors be paid?
So obviously there's been an undertaking now that they will pay speedily. Do we know to date, right now, how many have been paid out of the
638? No, we don't.
No.
No, we don't. We don't know. We don't know.
Goodness.
Yeah. But he just confirmed that he just acknowledged the meeting now. We're hoping to get the information from him, because it's important to work with the department as well. It's critical, because if we start being confrontational about these things, but I mean, it's material for doctors.
Yes.
It's not just their financial obligation, but what they see on the ground. People are dying. So one of the things we're actually planning to do is to actually run just an assessment of the impact of this period, just the period in between, and just to see how many people lost their lives that could have been saved.
Sure.
That would be important to know as a country.
That's scary. It's a scary thought. I really appreciate you talking to us. South African Medical Association CEO, Dr. Mzulungile Nodigida, who's just giving us an update on that. And I think it's quite a sudden thing, you know. So all of a sudden, about 628, that's of their association, the South African Medical Association, that had not been paid over time. Now, 526 of those are in Gauteng. And it was just a sample, you know, trying to assess how bad the situation is. We will get to the Department of Health nationally, because it wasn't only in Gauteng, just to get a sense of what is going on here. But what seems to be the issue is that they were trying to verify some doctors by using a new system completely, making sure that, you know, Pimelo, who says she's a doctor, is really not a ghost doctor, so that those payments can be verified and subsequently made. But in the interim, there were other things as well, like, for instance, how you actually do your invoice. So now you must itemize your invoice, as opposed to just, you know, getting your paycheck at the end of the month. Then in itself obviously posed some problems, because it seems like the department was not able to, whether it's speedily or properly, one doesn't know, but they were not able to themselves administer those in time so that everybody can get paid. As I said, we'll try and get to the Department of Health and try and get some responses to that.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.